the directors of a company. Who are directors? These are key managerial personnel and therefore are people who control the affairs of our company. When we say board of directors, it is a collective body of directors. And therefore, now, if we are to see the directors of a company, you're aware, my friends, that we have two types of directors, namely executive directors and non-executive directors. Executive director is an MD or a whole-time director of the company, while non-executive do not take part in the day-to-day management, but they are professionals who are essentially called by the company to undertake certain important strategies, to undertake performance standards, and as far as code of conduct is concerned, on the day-to-day areas of risk or various committees are concerned, these non-executive directors, we have directors essentially for the CSR committee, which is corporate social responsibility, which are pertaining to the non-executive category by and large. Let us now move into the area on directors. A director is a person appointed to the board of a company under Section 2, Subsection 34 of the Companies Act. When we say board, it means the collective body of directors to any company. So, a director is essentially an individual who is appointed, whereas the group of directors are called as the board of directors of the company. In a public company, there shall be 3 minimum directors. In a private company, there are minimum 2. And the maximum number of directors are 15. We can increase this number by passing an SR, which is a special resolution, in a meeting. Now, as far as individual directorships are concerned, a person can be a director of maximum 20 companies, of which 10 are public limited. Now here, when he takes up directorships, he is required to be accountable to the body of shareholders. There shall be at least one director who has stayed in India for a period not less than 180 days in the previous calendar year under Section 149(1). Well, friends, today under Companies Act 2013, we have women directors. A woman director is a mandatory position whereby in every public listed company, having a paid-up capital of more than 100 crore and a turnover over 300 crores, here is a lady who will be having a director identification number, which is called DIN, under which she sought to be appointed. If there is any vacancy where this lady is not there, within a period of 3 months as a casual vacancy, the woman director is required to be appointed. If it's a new company, within a period of 6 months. If it's an existing company, within a period of 1 year. Company Law 2013 says a woman director is mandatory. Independent directors. Every listed company shall have at least 1/3 of the total number of directors as independent, or at least 2 who are independent directors appointed by the central government. Now, where are independent directors required to be appointed? Every public company having a paid-up share capital of 10 crore or more, having a turnover exceeding 100 crores, or public companies in which the aggregate outstanding loans and debentures exceed 50 crores, independent directors are required to be appointed. Now, just to give you a little more particulars as regards independent directors, he is a person who is neither a managing director nor a nominee director. He is a person who shall not have any pecuniary interest as a promoter or in any capacity, either in a holding company or a subsidiary or an associate company. He is a person wherein either he or any of his relatives shall not have any holdings in an existing company over 2% of the capital or exceeding 50 lakhs as far as shareholdings are concerned, so that he is required to be disclosing the same or essentially required to reveal where he has any personal interest before he is an independent director of the company. Such an independent director is normally given a remuneration by way of a lump sum amount which includes his commission, and he is there for a duration of 5 years. The reappointment will be made after a period of 3 years wherein he is eligible, but during the intervening period after he has this limit of 5 years, he is not required to be taking up any other appointment in the intervening period. Regulations as regards rotation will not apply to an independent director. Now, we move on to the area as regards appointment of directors. My first director is appointed by a general meeting wherein these first directors are deemed to be the subscribers to my memorandum of association. Who are my subscribers? You're aware. They are the 7 people who have subscribed to the shares of the company in a public limited and 2 in the event of a private company. So, my first directors are my first subscribers who will hold this appointment until the AGM, the annual general meeting. Thereafter, they will be subsequently appointed in every annual general meeting. We then come to additional directors. These are directors who are appointed wherein the articles of the company shall specifically provide that these directors will hold a position up to the next AGM or until the last month wherein the annual general meeting is held, so that these are directors who are appointed where any important portfolios are required to be taken care of, and therefore you require professional expertise for areas wherein these additional directors are by and large appointed. Alternate director. Supposing my original director is out of station, he's not been in a position to attend board meetings for a period more than 3 months, we have a substitute who is called as an alternate director. Now, this alternate director will hold an area of office till that original man returns, so that he is deemed to be there till the original director vacates the office. We have what is called as nominee director. Today we have financial institutions lending money towards the company. Now, these financial institutions insist on the company that they should be having a representative on the board so that their areas as regards financial interests is taken care of. And therefore, these nominee directors are directors appointed by public financial institutions, representatives of the central or the state government. Now, we come to an area as far as Director Identification Number, DIN. A Director Identification Number, just as you and I have an identity card which indicates our identity, every director who is appointed to the board of a company is required to obtain an identification, whether he is an existing director or a proposed director, and it also includes DPIN. Now, a DPIN is a director who is appointed in a limited liability partnership firm. Now, what does DPIN mean? Designated Partner Identity Number. So, therefore, a director also has this number, which includes DPIN, which is meant as far as LLPs, limited liability partnerships, are concerned. Every director is required to have an application in DIR director form number 3 along with the amount of ₹500, which he will submit to the central government. The central government gives an intimation within a period of 30 days or 1 month and asks the director to rectify, because this is an online application with the central government. In case there are any particulars of details which are not given, this gentleman, namely the director, is required to give an intimation within 15 days. If within 15 days the intimation is not given or particulars are not rectified, this DIN stands cancelled. So, cancellation could be in the event of the director either meeting with death, becoming of unsound mind, or in the event that he has not activated his director identification number, the director identification number stands annulled, stands cancelled. Now, as far as retirement of directors are concerned, 2/3 of the total number retire in every public limited company. In every annual general meeting, out of the 2/3, 1/3 are required to retire. I'll just give you an illustration. We have total number of 11 directors. Now, how does retirement take place? Now, 1/3 out of the 2/3 out of 11, and therefore, every 3 directors are required to retire by rotation. Now, how does this take place? At every meeting, whosoever has the longest term in office, they are said to be retiring first. And supposing we have 2 or 3 directors on the same day, the person who will be the longest duration having in office is deemed to retire in the first instance. Now, such a director, is he eligible for reappointment? Yes, my friends, he can be reappointed unless there are 4 important particulars. He himself has stated that he is not willing to continue as a director. If he has had any of the disqualifications, if there is a special resolution appointing some other person in his place, or if there is any ordinary or special resolution passed in a company, in that eventuality, the reappointment doesn't take place, whereby there is a special appointment for a director. Now, other than the retiring director, sometimes in certain companies, there may be a person who may apply for the same, or he may be proposed by a certain gentleman, wherein he may be filling up in place of the retiring director. In such cases, a duration of 14 days intimation is required to be given at the company's registered office in such an eventuality. We now move on to the next area on disqualifications of a director. If he is of unsound mind and stands so declared by a competent court, he is an undischarged insolvent. Now, what is the meaning of an undischarged insolvent? He has been declared bankrupt by a court, and after being declared, he is unable to pay the money or the dues to the company. He is an undischarged insolvent. He has applied to be adjudicated as an insolvent and the application is pending. He is convicted by a court of any offence involving moral turpitude. Now, moral turpitude means a kind of a moral act or code of conduct which is contrary to public morals. So, whereby the code of conduct is not adhered, he is a person who is sought to be convicted. And if he is imprisoned for a period not less than 6 months, he is debarred from having directorship for a period of 5 years. And if it is more than 5, it is normally for a period of 7 years, he is discontinued for a lifetime. Any order disqualifying him for an appointment as a director by a court or tribunal, if he doesn't pay the call money, he is deemed to be disqualified. If he doesn't obtain the director identification number, he is also deemed to be disqualified under the Companies Act 2013. We now move on to the powers of directors. Well, friends, these powers are usually exercised by him according to the provisions of the memorandum, the articles of association, and the provisions of the Companies Act, wherein regulations are particularly laid down as far as exercising these powers are concerned, which is normally delegated to the board which they are accountable to. Well, at the same time, they are also accountable to the body of shareholders, wherein these are the following powers which can be exercised by the board. To make calls on shares in respect of any money which is unpaid on the shares, to authorize any buyback of securities, to issue securities including debentures in India or outside India, to borrow monies, to invest the funds of a company, to grant loans, give guarantee, or provide any security for loans. They also have powers to approve financial statements and board's report, to diversify the business, entertain any amalgamation and merger of companies, to make political contributions, to appoint or remove managerial personnel, to appoint internal auditors and secretarial auditors of the company, to buy, sell investments, to invite, accept public deposits, to approve any quarterly, half-yearly and annual financial statement of accounts. Now, before I go down to duties, I would just like to have it explained in brief that as far as these powers are concerned, there are four powers which are restricted as far as directors are concerned. They cannot purchase, sell, lease any of the company's property without the shareholders' consent. Similarly, as far as any consideration is concerned, which is received on an amalgamation or a merger, this money cannot be invested in any kind of securities other than trust securities without the sanction of the shareholders. Again, when it comes to extending time or remitting any funds or any kind of debts due by the directors to the company, there can be no extension of time unless the shareholders approve of the same. We now commence with duties of directors. The director is bound to act strictly in accordance with the articles. He has to act in absolute good faith to the best interest of the company, the employees, the shareholders, and the community at large. And therefore, friends, you may note that his duty is more to do towards fiduciary. That is, the duties are ones which are in absolute good faith, which is bona fide, and there shall be no conflict of interest whereby he has his interest before the interest of the shareholders, the employees, or the public at large. And therefore, here is a director who is required to be absolutely diligent, taking any kind of a decision independently with absolute care and precaution, and cannot assign his office to any other third party. We now move on to the position of directors. In Imperial Hotel Company versus Hampshire, a leading case on the point, directors have been told to be playing a triple role. What is that triple role? It is said they act as agents, as trustees, as managing directors or managing partners of a company. I'll just tell you what each of these terminologies indicate. Trustee. Now, before I go down to trustee, an agent. Well, friends, now what is the principle of agency when we go to areas on special contract? A principal is a person who employs another to act on his behalf. Whereas an agent is a person who is employed by the principal to act as a link between the principal and the third party. So you apply the same principles of agency today to a director. The director acts as an agent, Now, who is the principal? The principal is my company on registration. Now, can we say he is an agent? To some extent, yes, as far as the management of the company is concerned, because you are aware the company is an artificial agency. So, whom does it work through? It works through the board of directors. So, therefore, any decision making that is done as far as the management is concerned, he does it on behalf of the principal. The principal is the company. And therefore, it is said the director is an agent of the company. Coming down to trustee. Who is a trustee? A man who holds money and property in trust, in confidence for another person is called as a trustee. Now, technically, is he a trustee? No, he's not a trustee, because we have seen the company's property is its separate property. And therefore, how can a director hold the company's property in trust? No, it cannot. The director is not a trustee for the shareholder. The director is not a trustee for any third party. So therefore, it is best to say he is a paid agent in whom confidence is reposed, whereby he holds the money and the property of the company in strict confidence for the shareholder. So therefore, to some extent, yes, he's a trustee. Managing partner. You and I are shareholders who invest the money. But do we control the company? No. We elect the board of directors who are representatives who manage the company for us. So therefore, one partner is the shareholder who has invested and one partner is the director who is managing the company. So to that extent, he's a managing partner. Now, partnership. When we say there are two partners, who is a partner under Indian Partnership Act? Section 4 of IPA 32 says who is a partner? The relation between persons who have agreed to share the profits of a business carried on by all or any one of them acting for all. So one partner acts for another partner. Here, my friends, a director is not a partner of another director. No, he acts independently. So you cannot call him as a partner because one director is not an agent of the co-director. So he's certainly not a partner of another director. And therefore, the rules of partnership will not apply to him. Is he an employee? He is a professional paid employee as far as running the company is concerned. But you cannot call him as a servant. You cannot call him as an employee in the strict sense of the term, because he is a professional person who is hired for his professional expertise. And unlike a servant or an employee who gets certain privileges, this gentleman may have certain other privileges which are technically not under the scope of a servant or an employee. So it is indeed essential to call him as a paid professional who manages the company on behalf of the shareholder. We now come down to disclosure of interest by directors. Now, what is this disclosure of interest? Every director, you are required to reveal the number of shares. You are required to reveal when company enters into any contract. Let it be amalgamation, a merger contract. Every director is required to reveal in a general meeting, okay, the details of any shareholding over and about 2%. Supposing it's a body corporate. In case he has any other position as a partner or a director, he has to reveal the same when the company enters into any third party contracts. This is indeed a very, very important requirement, because if he participates in a meeting and the company has entered into a third party contract wherein this director of mine has not revealed, the contract becomes voidable at the option of the company. The company says, since you have not given a disclosure, the contract cannot be signed with such a third party, and therefore all disclosures at every board meeting whatever changes take place from time to time has to be revealed by the director unto the company. And if there is a disclosure, you cannot participate in such meetings, and at the same time, you cannot vote on such transactions. Moving on to loans to directors. The director cannot be given loans. He cannot be given any kind of a security, any kind of a guarantee without the shareholder's sanction. However, there are five exceptions whereby the restrictions on loans will not apply. Well, friends, which are these restrictions? Any amount of loan given under employee stock option purchase is excluded. Anything by way of a loan which is given under RBI regulations wherein he is required to repay them back with interest will not apply. Any loan which is sanctioned in a general body meeting with a special resolution. Any loans given by a holding company unto a subsidiary company. And finally, any loans given by a holding company to its subsidiary by way of a sanction of a financial institution are all thoroughly exempted. Loss of office by the director. When there is any kind of compensation paid to a director or any kind of a consideration given when he retires, this compensation or any kind of a transfer of shares cannot be sanctioned unless it is approved by the shareholders in a general meeting. Supposing he has already taken the sanction, he is supposed to be holding them in trust for the company. So, there are certain priorities wherein this compensation cannot be paid. And lastly, insider trading of security. What is insider trading? Any buying, any selling, any dealing of shares or debentures as regards price fluctuations happening within the company. Can the managerial personnel have any kind of such transactions regarding counseling, communicating or dealing? No, it is strictly banned whereby key managerial personnel as regards sensitive issues on price fluctuations are not required to reveal to the public. However, any kind of ordinary transactions in the normal course of business is excluded under insider trading. Well, thank you, my dear friends. I think we have had a thorough insight into the area of our managerial personnel, namely the director of a company, on the area of his appointment, on the area of his disqualifications, on the area of powers and duties, on the area as regards his position vis-a-vis the company, and finally, the area on insider trading. Thank you very much.